Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Today we come to Psalm 39 and we begin our study in verse 1. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 39, this is a psalm of David, and he writes in verse 1, I said, I will guard my ways, that I may not sin with my tongue. I will bridle my mouth, so long as the wicked are in my presence. The best way to avoid many sins is to avoid much talking. This is something that the Word of God mentions several places. Limit your words, and you're likely to limit your sins. The wrong words can spark an ungodly fire and really do a lot of damage. It's just best not to say much if you don't have to. Verse 2. David writes, I was dumb and silent. I held my peace to no avail. My distress grew worse. David tried total silence. I guess he figured that even if he said the correct things, bad things might spin off of those correct things, or somebody might take his sound words and twist them and misrepresent him. And so David was trying very hard to err on the side of caution and just not say anything at all. But notice verse 3, my heart became hot within me. As I mused, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. David's soul was filled with sorrow and was also filled with thoughts. And he was keeping it all inside of him. He was like a pot of boiling something, I don't know. But the pressure was building and the lid was about to blow off. As he thought about the comfort of the wicked, and as he thought about his own trouble, he knew he had to do something. He couldn't remain silent. He had to pray. Verse 4, Lord, let me know my end, and what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting my life is. In other words, God, remind me how short my life in this unfair world will be compared to eternity. What a great thing to pray when you're going through hard times. When we recall how short this life is compared to eternity and how it will all pass, it's much easier to handle this life's troubles. 5. Behold, thou hast made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing in thy sight. Surely every man stands as a mere breath. Our entire life is like a single moment to God. On the scale of eternity, it is like a single tick on the clock. And we will recognize it as being that way once we hit eternity. It's going to be viewed as one tick in the midst of an infinite amount of eternal ticks. 6. Surely man goes about as a shadow. Surely for naught are they in turmoil. Man heaps up and knows not who will gather. What straight talk this is from God. All of man's busy rushing around, most of it will amount to absolutely nothing. We laugh at dogs who chase their tails. It's funny to watch. We think, what a waste of life, how foolish. Well, God sees much of man's activity as nothing more than man chasing his own tail. 7. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in thee. David comes to his senses. Since life is so short, and this world with its bad things and even its good things is so fleeting, David says, I'm just going to put my hope in you, God, and I'm going to live for eternity. That is very wise. Verse 8. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the scorn of the fool. David is praying for God to rescue him from the control and the guilt of sin and from the wrath to come as a result of sin. Verse 9, he says, I am dumb, I do not open my mouth, for it is thou who hast done it. God is not the author of evil, but he sometimes allows it in the life of his people. He allows it to teach us patience and to make us more like himself. And David is accepting his trouble from God. He will silently endure it with faith. 10. Remove thy stroke from me. I am spent by the blows of thy hand. He is asking God not to hit him anymore. Refrain from your discipline, Lord. He says, I'm being worn out. I'm being worn out by your discipline, God. And notice, in the previous verse, it was clear David was going to silently endure God's discipline, but that doesn't mean you can't pray about it. Verse 11, when thou dost chasten man with rebukes for sin, thou dost consume like a moth what is dear to him. Surely every man is a mere breath. God's discipline hurts. He does not mess around when he pulls out his switch. He punishes to purge his children from sin, and it has to hurt, or it doesn't work. Verse 12, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am thy passing guest, a sojourner like all my fathers. And that's a unique way to try to get God to stop his discipline. I'd say very creative on David's part. You see what he's saying? He's saying, God, this is your world, which means I'm sort of like a guest in your house. So since I'm your guest, how about being kind to your guest, Lord? That's very creative on David's part. Verse 13, look away from me that I may know gladness before I depart and be no more. Before I depart and be no more. As for this world, as far as this world is concerned, death causes us to be no more, as David says. We are all quickly heading toward that point where we will be no more in this world. And it is a sad thing for sure if one squanders the short time they have here through sin. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. God wants us to wait patiently for him. And Jesus wins the gold medal for patience. What an example for us to follow. When suffering unfairly, he did not strike back. He did not speak unkind words or even give an unkind glance to those who tortured him. Verse 2. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. God saved David out of the pit of despair, when by God's grace, David quit striving and with acceptance of whatever, began to trust God. 3. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Many will see and fear and then put their trust in the Lord. Fear is necessary before there can be salvation. People who do not properly understand that they have offended a holy God and a sin-punishing God will not be afraid will not have a proper fear of God and will not cry out to Him for cleansing from their sin and forgiveness. So the very essential that people be brought face to face with their iniquity. Verse 4. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. In other words, you're much better off spiritually today and in every way in eternity if you just put your total trust in God rather than count on other things or other people to provide what you need. Oh, God may use those things and those people, but trust in God, let that be your focus, because there is real freedom in being that way. 5. Thou hast multiplied, O Lord, my God, thy wondrous deeds and thy thoughts toward us. None can compare with thee. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be numbered. Now, David is not amazed at how God can actually do so many nice things for people. He's not amazed at God's ability to do these things. And he is not able, or he's not amazed that God is able to think about us so much. He's not amazed about his ability to do that either. What seems to amaze David was the grace of it all. God's grace that would cause him to care so much about sinful creatures. That is the amazing thing. Verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou dost not desire, but thou hast given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Thou hast given me an open ear. What is that? I'll tell you what it is. First, let me tell you this. Back in those days, when one Hebrew wanted to be the lifetime servant of another Hebrew, his ear was pierced. And he wore a ring symbolizing his connection to his master. The New Testament makes it clear that this verse actually refers to the voluntary and perfect and sinless lifelong service of Jesus Christ to the Father. That's what this is talking about. It's as if Jesus said to the Father, put a hole in my ear, Father, because I want to serve you perfectly, sinlessly all my life. And that's what he did. 7. Then I said, and this is still Jesus talking to the Father. Then I said, lo, I come, in the roll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, thy law is within my heart. And that was Jesus. And sacrifice and offerings never took away man's sin. They are not what God wanted for the removal of sin, nor were they valuable enough to redeem sinners. God needed a sinless human to die as a substitute for sinful humans and to pay for their sin. That is what was needed. That is what Jesus did. He lived God's law, and then he suffered to pay for our sins. 9. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Lo, I have not restrained my lips, as thou knowest, O Lord. David was not timid about telling people that God forgives sins. And of course, Satan would like us to keep our mouths shut concerning that, the salvation that God gives, because that way he can keep guilt-ridden sinners miserable and feeling like there's no hope at all. But notice verse 10. I have not hid thy saving help within my heart. I have spoken of thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy steadfast love and thy faithfulness from the great congregation. It's not enough to be saved from hell through Christ. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. But that's not enough. The way of salvation must be shared with others. It was unthinkable to David that he would keep the great news of salvation to himself. Unthinkable. Not helping to spread the word of God is one of the most selfish things in the world. 11. Do not thou, O Lord, withhold thy mercy from me. Let thy steadfast love and thy faithfulness ever preserve me. Don't withhold your mercy from me, David prays. And like with David, our only hope is the love and the mercy and the faithfulness of God. Believe me, if God withholds his great mercy, we are goners for sure. None of us stands a chance, because we can't earn our way to heaven. 12. For evils have encompassed me without number. My iniquities have overtaken me till I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. Wow, David's problems are too big to handle. And he says that his sins are too many to count. And he knows it. You say, the poor man. He actually sees that his sins are too many to count. The poor man. Not really. I'll tell you, the one to be pitied is the one who doesn't realize that he is in big trouble and that his sins are too many to count. Because the fact is, all of our sins are too many to count. The one to be pitied is the one who doesn't realize it, and therefore he doesn't call out to God for mercy through Jesus Christ. That's the person who's in trouble. 13. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. In other words, please, Lord, come and save me now. And that is the fervent cry of a sinner who needs God's help and knows it. And that type of prayer, because it is sincere, will get a response from God. 14. Let them be put to shame and confusion altogether, who seek to snatch away my life. Let them be turned back and brought to dishonor, who desire my hurt. And they will. They will be ashamed, and they will be confused, and they will be dishonored if they do not repent. Well, maybe not in David's lifetime, but for sure when they die and they stand before God, because that's the way it works when there's a just God calling the shots. 15. Let them be appalled because of their shame, who say to me, aha, aha. David had people who had a great time watching him suffer, just as Christ had many who enjoyed the cross as well. And they will be disgraced someday because of their shameful attitudes. 16. But may all who seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. May those who love thy salvation say continually, great is the Lord. In other words, may the joy of the Lord be given to everyone who loves the Lord. And Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. The joy of the Lord is not for the disobedient. It is for those who show their love for God by their obedience. Apart from that, there can be no joy of the Lord. Verse 17. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Do not tarry, O my God. David can't seem to get over the fact that the Lord actually thinks about him. It's just unbelievable to him. He says, I'm poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. He just can't seem to get over that, how wonderful that is. God takes the time to actually think about him, a poor, needy, sinful human being. And that fantastic truth should amaze each one of us, because it's true about each one of us. Let's go into Psalm 41, verse 1. Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord delivers him in the day of trouble. God will be good to those who are kind to the poor. In other words, if we help others get out of trouble, God will help us get out of trouble. Verse 2. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. Thou dost not give him up to the will of his enemies. You know, whether the person who helps the poor has much or little. God's blessing will be upon him and whatever he does have. Well, he may not be rich, but the blessing of God will make him feel like a rich man. Psalm 41, verse 3. The Lord sustains him on his sick bed. In his illness, thou changest all his bed. In other words, there will be comfort. A comfort from God that will give the man of God or the woman God strength of soul on their sick bed and even on their deathbed. Verse 4. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against thee. Heal me, God. It is not a drug that heals anyone. It is not a drug, it is not a treatment that ever heals. Oh, God may choose to use those things, but in every case, whether people believe in him or not, it is God who graciously heals anyone of anything, who has ever been healed of anything. It is God. 5. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? David's enemies wanted to see him suffer. And that is the opposite of God, who takes absolutely no pleasure at all in the suffering of anyone, even the wicked who deserve it. 6. And when one comes to see me, he utters empty words, while his heart gathers mischief. When he goes out, he tells it abroad. David had those who smiled and acted so friendly to him, but inside they enjoyed seeing him suffer. Hypocrites is what they were. Traitors. And I've known people like that, and I stay as far away from them as I possibly can. The spirit of Judas is in those types of people. They are not good to be around. 7. All who hate me whisper together about me. They whisper. They imagine the worst for me. Evil people are often very slick people. They're whisperers, you know. They're deep thinkers and they're good at scheming against the righteous. And they often work in secret. They do their whispering, you know. They often work in secret, not only for the purpose of trapping the good, but also from fear of being caught. 8. They say a deadly thing has fastened upon him. He will not rise again from where he lies. That is what the enemies of Christ said of him, too. Oh, they were sure that they had put Jesus out of business permanently. He will not rise. We're killing him. That's it. They were sure that they would never again be bothered with his holiness and with his truth. But he did rise again, 3 days later. 9. Even my bosom friend, in whom I trusted, who ate of my bread, has lifted his heel against me. Judas is the hypocrite that this verse speaks of. He was a trusted friend, to the point of putting him in charge of the money. But when he had a chance to satisfy his greed, boy, he broke his trust. And he betrayed Christ. And the others who trusted him. 10. But do thou, O Lord, be gracious to me, and raise me up, that I may requite them. By this I know that thou art pleased with me, and that my enemy has not triumphed over me. Notice he doesn't say, by this I know that you are pleased with me, God, because everybody thinks I'm great. Everybody thinks I'm swell. I have no enemies at all. Everybody's my friend. That's why I know you're pleased with me. He didn't say that. It is, I have enemies, but they can't defeat me. And you know, that's always the case. The enemies of God's people cannot defeat God's people. Even if they put the man of God or the woman of God to death, they still win. God's people still win. Can't defeat them. 12. But thou hast upheld me because of my integrity and set me in thy presence forever. God's power is the thing that upholds us in our integrity. It is God's power that upholds us in our holiness. David had been slandered, but he was not guilty. He was a man of integrity. He was a man of holiness. But he did not take credit for his holiness or his integrity. He gave all the credit to God for any good in him. 13. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Sometimes people ask the question, well, if God created everything, then who created God? No one. He always was. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Never was a time when he was not. And we'll pick up our study in Psalm 42 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.